John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show. Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, my colleague and co-host. And we welcome our colleague and friend, Steve Yates. Steve is a man we go to understand the ironies of Washington and administration. The irony at this moment is that John Kerry, the czar in charge of climate change, is headed to China. At the same time, the news reports frequently that China's provoking Taiwan with aggression, flyovers of the air defense identification zone, the deployment of the Chinese carrier east of Taiwan, demonstrations of large military units training off of the, on the coast of mainland China, potentially an invasion force. All of this while John Kerry is going to make entreaties to the Chinese leadership for climate change. Gordon, have I said all that correctly? Simultaneously, provocation and entreaties. Good evening, Gordon.
Good evening, John. And yes, you are correct in all respects.
Because we don't solve this easily, we welcome Steve Yates because he's a veteran of the administration of George W. Bush when they ran up against China's intransigence and paradoxical nature with the incident of the bringing down of a surveillance craft very early in the Bush administration, eclipsed by the attack on New York and Washington. However, here we are again with the leadership in Beijing confounding us with its dual purpose of to provoke and at the same time to entertain. Steve, does this make sense to you, knowing the ways of Washington, that you can just ignore not only the left hand but the right hand as you travel to China?
Well, John, it has happened in times past. Lots of different circumstances. Of course, one of the more difficult ones was in the wake of the Tiananmen Square massacre of 1989. It was, of course, near universal public condemnation of Beijing and the Chinese Communist Party in this crackdown. At the same time, the National Security Advisor was going privately to Beijing to try to set back on track various forms of strategic dialogue as the Cold War came to a close. This, however, I think is a very, very different time and circumstance. There aren't those global stakes in play. This is a little bit of an echo of the early Obama administration when they were going for the great deal of the century on climate, then called the Copenhagen Accords. What's changed between then and now is really the United States having achieved energy independence and actually reduced carbon emissions by a great deal, but China just sitting back in a much stronger, more provocative posture, admittedly by the United States State Department and the current administration engaged in genocide against the Muslims in the Uyghur region. And that makes Kerry's mission, I think, far more precarious than the earlier secret entreaties for strategic cooperation.
Yes, I'm glad you brought in the Uyghur matter because that also points to an immediate decision at some point about how people are going to express their disregard for the Chinese leadership because of Xinjiang. At the same time, the Olympics are to be entertained there in 2022. Gordon, I mentioned the Taiwan provocation. Do you imagine that that's on John Kerry's mind, that he's going to bring up the fact that his administration, he is a member of the Biden administration, is at the same time making announcements, however, that there's going to be diplomatic exchanges with Taiwan, open diplomatic exchanges. At the same time, he's going to Beijing to make diplomatic exchanges with the people who are provoking Taiwan. I'm now tied in a knot, Gordon. I hope you can solve this for me.
Yeah. We don't know what John Kerry's brief is from the president. But he is the climate czar, and he nominally doesn't have other responsibilities with regard to China. He has said that climate is a standalone issue, that he can talk about climate and not talk about other things. So that's a hint of his position. But the Chinese actually have said very clearly in response that you can't cooperate with China just on one issue and not cooperate on others. And if they're as good as their word, it means that Kerry's going to have to talk about Uyghurs, and he's going to have to talk about South China Sea and Taiwan and intellectual property theft and currency manipulation and all the rest of it. So I don't know what Kerry is going to think he's going to do, but I think he's going to be hit by a lot of demands from Beijing.
You have a question for Steve Gordon.
Steve, do the Chinese really care about climate change?
In truth, I don't think they care about climate change. I don't think that they value their natural resources and the climate any more than they do the human being that they have exploited for the multiple decades of the Communist Party's regime. They use things to extract value at a time, to get ahead, and to extend their rule. In fact, I think that you can reduce the entire existence of the CCP regime to one thing, extending the lifeline of that regime. All else is a distant second.
Steve, I'm going to stay with the climate then. The promises that China's made are in the imagined future, but distant future. There's no cost to China to make these promises. Xi Jinping will not live long enough, if he doesn't pass 100, to see these promises either reversed or challenged. So how is it that we can negotiate anything with the Chinese, given their, what you'd have to say, creative way that they've dealt with treaties in the near past?
Right. Well, this is just an extension of the well-worn tradition of Chinese exceptionalism, where we give China more leeway than our best of friends and other partners around the world. There's no other country that is able to sort of skirt these guidelines more so than China, and yet it's supposedly this big, powerful economy and driving the world. If there is a big, big problem of giving exceptions for them, they also, though, have as an advantage the pursuit of a lot of nuclear energy development. And so it's much easier for them to meet these, I think, somewhat bogus and arbitrary targets, because a part of their energy footprint is going to go nuclear as well, something the United States and a lot of places, including my friends in Taiwan, have eschewed for far too long.
Gordon?
Steve, you talked about the Uyghurs. Most of the world's polysilicon, which goes into solar panels, is actually made in Xinjiang, the northwestern part of the country, where the Uyghurs and Kazakhs and other minorities are. There are allegations that these solar panels and its component and their component parts are actually made by forced or slave labor. It would seem that that's a climate issue, but it's also a human rights issue. It's a question of crimes against humanity. It would be very difficult for John Kerry to separate those when he talks to the Chinese. What do you think?
Oh, I agree it would be very difficult to separate them, but the only caveat I would put on that is, as long as sort of his echo class is paying attention. One thing that's been somewhat different on Xinjiang and the Uyghur situation for people on the left of center in the United States is that places like the Washington Post have rather regularly put forward opinions and commentaries from their leading writers, trying to draw attention to this atrocity that's going on. And so it might be harder to push some of those bits of evidence and inconvenient truths aside. But I think that as a consumer market and as boardrooms around the world, we're only on the front end of real knowledge and sensitivity about the sourcing of these supply chains. The cotton issue has only in recent weeks really seemed to take and hold. And so I think you're pointing at where a lot of follow-on is yet to be had. And as it rolls forward, especially as John mentioned, toward the Olympics, I think the volume on that has to get louder and louder.
Quickly, Steve, Matt Pottinger, former National Security Advisor Deputy, mentioned the linkage between Olympics and aggression. He looked at 1936. He also looked at how Russia acted after Sochi. Do you believe that the Olympics going off unchecked in 2022 is grounds for China to be aggressive in all directions, but especially Taiwan? We have about a minute.
I do think that it basically is an open invitation for impunity on the part of Beijing. The only saving grace of the 36 Olympics was Jesse Owens' defiant symbol of human dignity against authoritarianism and Nazism. There's no chance for a modern Jesse Owens in this upcoming Olympics. China won't allow it. neither will corporate sponsors. And so that's why I think we should boycott the Beijing Olympics.
Boycott routinely, boycott with individuals. Boycott is a big word. That's at this point. Do you think complete boycott, Steve? We have just a few seconds.
I don't think the United States should send its athletes. I don't think the free world should send its athletes to this genocide games.
Steve Yates, former Deputy National Security Advisor to Vice President Cheney, currently CEO of DC International, Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang. I'm John Batchelor.